There was a city banker. He was standing at the end of a pier in a small coastal village. A little boat comes up, a fisherman's in it. And in that boat, there's several large yellowfin tuna. You can tell this isn't a British story because you wouldn't catch those around here. But lovely boat, lovely fish. And the city banker, he looks at this boat and he says, "They're wonderful fish, great catch." He said, "Why didn't you stay out longer and catch more?" The man said, "I didn't need to. I have enough to meet my family's needs." So the banker said, "Well, what do you do with the rest of your time?" The fisherman said, "I sleep a little, I fish a little, I play with my children, I take a nap with my wife, and I stroll into the village each evening where I play the guitar and sing with my friends. I have a full and a busy life." The banker scoffed. He said, "I've got an MBA. I could help you. You could spend more time fishing. With the proceeds from that, you could buy a bigger boat. With that, you could eventually have a whole fleet of fishing boats. Instead of selling your catch to a middleman, you could become your own producer, and then you could become a cannery. You'll control the product. You'll control the processing, the distribution. You'd need to leave this fishing village, and you could control your expanding enterprise from the city." The fisherman said, "Well, how long will this take? 15? 20 years? Well, what then?" The banker said, "Then that's the best part. At that point, you sell your company and you become really rich. You could make millions. Millions. Well, then what?" "Well, then you retire. You move to a small coastal village where you sleep late, you fish a little, you play with your kids, you take a nap with your wife, and you stroll to the village in the evenings and play the guitar and sing with your friends." There are many things that we chase in life, many things that we seek, many things that we desire. But today's I am, it goes right to the heart of satisfaction, of real satisfaction, of fulfillment, of true life. Then Jesus declared, this is John 6, verse 35. Then Jesus declared, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry. Whoever believes in me will never be thirsty." Today we've got rich, we've got plentiful diets, we've generally got more than enough to eat, and if we run out, we even can have the supermarket delivery, so we don't have to leave our homes. But for most of history, or even across much of the world today, the question of where the next meal is coming from, or how I'm going to feed my family over the next year, is a big question. And so this staple of bread, of just water, flour, a little yeast, a little salt. And it's been the staple for thousands of years, representing the basic survival needs that we have. Jesus said, "I am the bread of life. I will meet your needs. I'll meet the deepest needs that you have. If you come to me, you will never be hungry again. If you believe, you will never be thirsty again." Now, I've had some pretty big meals. I felt pretty full after Christmas. I don't think I'm ever going to eat again. You know, it sounds like if I have Halo's food, then I'm going to not want any more again for a while. But afterwards, a short while comes, and however good the food is, however big the meal is, a while later, I'm hungry again. But this bread of life, if you come, you'll never grow hungry. Imagine that you're in the first century and you're hearing this for the first time, and you're constantly thinking about where your next meal is coming from. You're constantly thinking, how am I going to feed my family? Am I going to get enough harvest for the next year? Where am I going to get bread? And Jesus says, you will never grow hungry. You will never go hungry. You can be satisfied in me. And this morning, we're going to unpack together this I am the bread of life. And I've got 5 points, each spelling out the word bread. Slightly tenuous on the first one, I admit, but be satisfied, respond, eat, accept, and declare. You've got to have a bit of preacher's license on this. Be satisfied. It's not in a, you're going to be grateful for what you've got, in the way we sometimes say to our kids. No, it's you can be satisfied. It's an invitation, an offer from Jesus, an invitation from Jesus. Come and be satisfied because I offer life. I offer fulfillment. You know, in all our lives, we're seeking after something, aren't we? Where we might be doing it consciously or unconsciously. And they're often really good things. Stephen spoke last week about the topic of money. We often chase after that, don't we? We chase after more of it. We never feel like we have enough of it. We worry. We dream about what we might do, even if we had just a bit more. I remember as a child, my mother's wisdom on money. She used to say to us, "How much is enough money?" And we quickly learned the answer was, just a little bit more. Just a little bit more. Just out of reach. Always hungry. Never satisfied. We're hunger after the approval and the affirmation of others. I long to hear the well done, that people are happy with me, that they like me. I want to, but I need it to keep coming. You know, that card I sent last week, they didn't say anything about it. Did they like it? Did I misjudge it? Did I get it wrong? My hunger for affirmation keeps coming. It's never satisfied. Just a bit more time at the gym and I'm fit enough. If I could just get 1,000 views on TikTok, I'll be happy. One call from my family a week, that's all I ask for. Someone to hold or to love or care. That next promotion. Then I've made it. And these things, there's nothing wrong with them in themselves. But it's never enough. There's always more. I am more, says Jesus. I am more. You seek life, and Jesus says, I am the bread of life. I'm the one thing that gives you all you need and truly satisfying life that remains satisfying, that keeps on meeting your deepest need. Abundant life, now and for eternity. I am the bread of life. Come and be satisfied in me. But what do you get when you get an invitation? When you need a response, an RSVP. Whoever comes to me, Jesus says, the crowd Jesus is speaking to, they've done precisely that. And if we have the next slide up, thank you. Verse 24 of chapter 6, they got into the boats and they went to Capernaum in search of Jesus. And when they found him on the other side of the lake, they searched, they found him. Well, they came. And if we go back to part of chapter 6, chapter 6 starts off with that story we're all familiar with. Jesus, he's gone up onto the mountainside. And all these crowds of people have come. There's 5,000 men, plus the women and the children, come to see this man who they've heard has been healing many. And they hear his teaching. And if you thought we were full now, there was probably about 20,000 of them up there. And they came to him. And Jesus took the picnic of one boy, 5 small loaves, 2 little fish, probably no more than little pickled side fish. And he gave thanks. And he fed all 20,000 or so of those people, the 5,000 men and all the women and children, until they were not only satisfied, but there were 12 baskets left over. 12 baskets left over from one boy's packed lunch. Well, no wonder they came searching for him. But Jesus says to them, very truly, I tell you, you're looking for me not because you're looking for me not because you saw the signs I performed, but because you ate the loaves and you had your fill. Don't work for food that spoils, but for food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. Well, they've come to him, but they want more food to eat. They want more impressive miracles. They want these displays of power. Actually, they wanted to come and overthrow the Romans because they want him to come and make their lives more comfortable and easier. And you know what? Often so do we. God, give me that job. God, will you give me that relationship? God, will you take this difficult situation from me? And we don't quite say it that way, but we might as well pray, dear God, please take away what's hard. Dear God, please give me what's easy. And please, God, make my life comfortable. Thank you. Amen. Because that's what our prayers often come down to. And don't get me wrong, God loves to bless us richly. God loves to give us good things. He loves to care for us as our Heavenly Father, and we're told to ask for our daily bread. But when our prayer lives, when they become more like a shopping list, when we're after the gifts more than the giver, when they're coming to God for what we want, we've forgotten what's really valuable. We've forgotten the bread of life. And we're hungering after food that spoils, not after the food of eternal life that will never leave us hungry or thirsty. But you know what? There's an equal and opposite danger as well that we sometimes fall into. They go on in verse 27. Then they asked him, what must we do to do the work that God requires? What must we do to get this bread that never spoils? And do you see that they've turned it around from, okay, well, I want that bread, to, well, what, how can I get it then? What is it that I have to do? And sometimes we come not for what he can do for us, but we come for what we can do for him. And this is more subtle. It's actually more dangerous because actually we often deceive ourselves and we deceive others in this because it's good and right to serve. You know, it's good and right to give of our time and our energies and our monies. You know, we're doing that on the gift day. Stephen spoke about how wonderful it is that these new members that we've welcomed in this morning are serving in many great ways. And that's great, but we have to be careful we don't twist it around. Because instead of remembering that all our time and our energies and our money come from God, instead, we strive. We strive to give more to God, to do more, to serve more in endless activity. We strive to be better. But striving isn't Jesus' way. And as we strive, we begin to feel that God owes us one. Our mind is flattered because the pride, because we're conscious that we're doing something for God. But you know, you know quickly that it's not the satisfaction that comes from God. Why? Because we keep feeling that hunger inside. Am I doing enough? Is God really pleased with me? Was he disappointed in me today? I'm still hungry. Come to me, Jesus says, and you'll never be hungry. We come not foremost because of what Jesus can give us. We come not foremost because of what we can give to him. No, we come because of who he is. We come because of who he is. This one evening, Joanna, my daughter, said to me, Daddy, do you have to go out again this evening? A child loves to be with their parent. A child loves to be with their parent for who they are and to share their love together. And yes, they get good things from us, and yes, they love to give us good things, and yes, sometimes it gets distorted, but a child's love is for their parent and to be with them. Daddy, do you have to go out again this evening? Can I not spend the time with you? Come to Jesus for who he is, that we want to spend time with him like a child with open hands and an open heart, bringing nothing but a desire for him, that we might delight in him, that we might enjoy him, his companionship, his compassion, tenderness, strength, his majesty. And as you come and enjoy him, you will find in him the bread of life, true satisfaction. When she was 17, Joni Erickson Tada was an athletic teenager. She had a bright future ahead of her in many sports. But then one day she broke her neck in a tragic diving accident. She was left permanently paralyzed, unable to use either her hands or her legs for the rest of her life. Recently, nearly 50 years later, she said these words. "I was once a 17-year-old who wretched at the thought of living life without a working body. I hated the paralysis so much that I would drive my power wheelchair into walls, repeatedly banging them until they cracked. Early on, I found dark companions who helped me numb my depression with scotch and cola. I just wanted to disappear. I just wanted to die. But what a difference time makes, as well as prayer, heavenly-minded friends, and a deep study of God's word. All combined, I began to see there are more important things in life than walking and having use of your hands. It sounds incredible, but I would rather be in this wheelchair knowing Jesus than being on my feet without him. I'd rather be in this wheelchair knowing Jesus than be on my feet without him. I would not trade this intimacy with God, this sweetness, this nearness, this tenderness, this preciousness of faith come alive in my life." We have an invitation. Be satisfied. Respond. Come to Jesus for who he is. But then we must eat. Now, I love bread. I really love bread. I love good, proper bread. I love baking bread. I love the smell as it comes out of the oven and it's there. I love the crispy crust as you break it and you hear that good crack upon it. But you know what? If I'm to really get the most out of bread, the real joy of bread is in the eating it. It's in the consuming it. In verse 51, Jesus says, "I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats this bread will live forever." What does it mean to eat this bread? Well, if you're this morning thinking, "I don't really follow it," neither did those who were listening straight away, because the Jews began to argue sharply amongst themselves and said, "How can this man give us his flesh to eat?" But what it means to eat is to take something in and make it part of ourselves. We often use eating as a metaphor, don't we? We use it to how we understand and receive words. You say, "I devoured that book. That's really good food for thought. I had to spoon feed them in that lesson. I don't think I can swallow what you're proposing." We're used to using the words of metaphor for eating with our words. And the Bible uses the same language. We've just finished looking at 1 Peter together, haven't we? In 1 Peter chapter 2, it said, "Like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk so that you may grow up in your salvation now that you have tasted that the Lord is good." Jesus says of the words that he has just said, "The words I have spoken to you, they are full of spirit and life." And we take this life-giving word, we receive it into our hearts, and as his word dwells in us, we find true satisfaction. But you know, it goes even deeper than this. If we go into verse 56, it says, "Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me and I in them. For just as the living Father sent me and I live because of the Father, so the one who feeds on me will live because of me." If we eat and if we drink of him, if we'll receive him into our lives, we will remain in him and he will remain in us. We'll have life. will have eternal life, life to the full, life that's satisfied with meaning and purpose and identity with Jesus, the one who came from heaven, who we delight in. And if we believe, he will come, and he will come by his Spirit, and he will remain in us. He will dwell in us. Whoever eats of him remains in me, and I in them. We've eaten this bread of life because the bread of life has come to live in us. And he transforms us, and he empowers us, and he feeds us, and he brings life from inside of us. Do you know that today? Do you know that power of God living in you? Tim Savage wrote a book called Discovering the Good Life, and he wrote these words. Too often, Christians draw up the boundaries of their identity without reference to the treasure within them. They're insensitive to the indwelling Christ. If we fully understand the glory of God inhabiting our hearts, we'd no longer entertain worry and fears. We'd no longer dread earthly losses. We'd no longer wilt under the opinions of people. We'd no longer be anxious for tomorrow. To know ourselves, to be indwelled by Christ, is to be filled by infinite life. It's to be secure in him. It's to never lose heart. It is to always be more than a conqueror. We forget this reality, don't we? That we've eaten the bread of life, that we have a treasure beyond measure inside us. Tim Savage goes on to say it may even be Christianity's best kept secret. But 2 Corinthians 13:5, it says, do you yourselves not recognize that Jesus Christ is in you? Galatians 2:20 says, I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. And Colossians 1:27, God says, God wanted to make known among the Gentiles the glorious wealth of the mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. He's filled you with himself, the bread of life, and that's why we can know deep satisfaction. That's why we can know deep joy, the power of Christ dwelling in each of us. And brothers and sisters, I pray this morning that he may grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with power of Christ, that he may dwell in your hearts by faith, that you may be filled with his fullness, the fullness of God, the bread of life, that you may be satisfied in your hunger. But this is only possible because Jesus came down from heaven, born as one of us with flesh and blood, so that he might die, dying that we might have life. Verse 51 continues, this bread is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. One of the things about most food is that something has to die for us to eat. Fairly obviously, if I want a pork chop, a pig has to die. But if I'm to have my five a day, some plants have to die. So too, as I eat the bread of life and receive eternal life, something has to die. For me to have life, Jesus had to die. He had to die on the cross at Calvary. He had to die in my place. He had to die where I deserve to die, to take my sin, my shame, my failure, and my death, because I was dead, dead in my sins, dead in my rejection of God. And you know what? Dead people can't eat. But he died, and he rose again. He rose again that I too can have life and I can have hope because of Jesus and because of his sacrifice on the cross, because he has given me new life in his resurrection, because he's given his Spirit to come, to enable me to come, and now I can come and I can receive and have this bread of life. and I can live. Be satisfied in Jesus. Respond. Come to the bread of life. Eat. Make him your all. Allow him to dwell in you. So why do so many remain unsatisfied? Because we must also accept this bread of life. Believe in the one who offers it. Whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. Or verse 47, very truly I tell you, the one who believes has eternal life. I am the bread of life. If you don't believe that he offers true satisfaction, that he offers life, if you don't believe that he's the one that meets my needs, then you'll look elsewhere. In money, work, power, sex, affirmation, achievement. Do I trust that he alone will meet my need, that he alone will truly satisfy? And yet, aren't we more often inclined to take the bread of life and treat it like another dietary supplement, some extra vitamins that we can add to the mix of life to try and make things a bit better? But if we truly believe in Jesus, if we truly accept him as the bread of life, the one whom life and meaning is found, we must come to him. We must make him our all for who he is. We must accept him on his terms. We need to accept him as to what he declares. A few weeks ago, when Tim Perkins was preaching, he spoke and showed us a clip from the film The Incredibles. You might remember we had the strain around the family dining table. The Incredibles has a second film, The Incredibles 2. I'm afraid I don't have a clip, but I've got a picture here. And you've got Bob Parr, superhero, Mr. Incredible. He's managing the challenges of solo parenting whilst Elastigirl is out saving the world. And he's got a super baby with superpowers. And you know what? He's exhausted. He has completely collapsed on the sofa. He's totally stretched. And he turns to his friend Lucius, also known as Frozone, and he says, okay, I admit it. I think I need a little bit more of me time. And then I'll be good to go. But Lucius turns around and says, oh, you need more than me time, Bob. You need major life realignment on a number of levels. And that's us. Because we think we just need a small fix. We think just a small fix and then we're ready to go. But Jesus says, no. You need major life realignment on a number of levels. And this goes to the heart of our pride. It goes to the heart of our culture, who says, our culture says, you can do it. And Jesus says, no, you can't. You can't do it. You can't, but I can. I can. Nothing in my hand I bring, simply to the cross I cling. Naked, come to you for dress. Helpless, look to you for grace. Foul, I to the fountain fly. Wash me, Saviour, or I die. On hearing it, many of the disciples said, verse 60, this is a hard teaching. Who can accept it? And so we come on to what is one of many tragic verses in the Gospels. For it then says, from this time, many of his disciples turned back and no longer followed him. They came, they saw, they heard from the bread of life. They heard from the one who offers the richest of food, the greatest treasure of heaven, true life, eternal life in all its fullness. But they did not believe. They did not accept. And they turned back. And no longer followed him. Jesus turns to the 12 and says, you do not want to leave too? Simon Peter answered, Lord, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Brothers and sisters, don't lose heart. Let us not lose sight of the treasure that we have. Let us grasp the life offered by the life giver. Let us accept, let us eat, let us come, let us enjoy the bread of life. Let us find our satisfaction in him. But let us not keep it to ourselves either. Let us declare. The last few years there's been a rise in the artisan bakery of the sourdough loaf. There's even now a campaign for real bread. There's people talking, people sharing about where they can get the best bread, sharing what they've discovered. How much more if we've not just got a loaf of sourdough, but we've got the bread of life, will we not share that with those around us? We've got a wonderful invitation. Hear these words from Isaiah 55. Come, all you who are thirsty, come to the waters. All you who have no money, come, buy and eat. Come, buy wine and milk without money, without cost. Why spend money on what is not bread, and your labor on what does not satisfy? Listen. Listen to me and eat what is good, and you will delight in the richest affair. Give ear. Come to me, listen, that you may live. Seek the Lord while he may be found, and call on him while he may be near. I was challenged reading these words from Warren Wiersbe, who said, "We live in a world filled with hungry people who are searching for reality and cannot find it. They're spending their money on that which is not bread, and their labor on that which does not satisfy. Why? Because we who are enjoying the feast have not told them about Jesus, the bread of life." This Friday, as Sam shared with us before, we've got a Good Friday witness on the square. We've got a great opportunity when we can be shared with our community the gospel hope, the hope of life, the offer of the bread of life to a hungry community. On Sunday here, we're going to be looking together at the resurrection, the hope that we have in Jesus as he's come back to life. Who could you invite? Who can you share with? Who could you extend the offer of eternal life? Who do you know who is hungry and laboring on what does not satisfy that you can offer the richest of fare, the bread of life? Jesus declared, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry. And whoever believes in me will never be thirsty." In Christ alone, the bread of life, I can be satisfied. I respond as I come to him, knowing that I will never grow hungry, because he is my all, my light, my joy, my strength, and my song. I come and I eat, knowing that I know him deeply and I welcome him into my life. Because I no longer have sin's curse on me. I've been bought with his blood. And I accept and believe, knowing that I will never thirst because my sin is upon him. So let us come to a hungry world. Let us come to a hungry world and declare Jesus. Declare the one who is the bread of life. Because his power is at work in us. And we offer the bread of life to those who hunger, to those who seek satisfaction. Where else would we go? For you have the words of eternal life. Let's stand together and sing, "In Christ alone, my hope is found."